This episode is brought to you by Indeed. When draft time rolls around, you have to be strategic and you have to be quick to put together the best possible team. Like with football players, when you're drafting a quarterback, there are so many things that you need. You need an athletic guy. You need a guy who can process information. He's got a strong arm. Maybe he can run around a little bit. There's so many things, and finding the exact right one, very difficult. But if you're hiring, the best strategy is to use Indeed. Their sponsored jobs will help you stand out. It literally puts your job post at the top of the page so you can reach the people you want faster. And even better, you're only paying for results. There's no monthly subscriptions or long-term contracts. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/footballers. That's Indeed.com/footballers right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/footballers. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When it comes to insurance, USAA is the perfect first-round pick. That's because bundling auto with property insurance saves you money. And USAA is your go-to for great rates and insurance options. Visit USAA.com/bundle. to see what you can save. Bundle savings are off total premium, not available in all states or in all situations. To qualify, auto policy must be active prior to property policy issue. Subject to change, restrictions apply. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers, Mike, the Fantasy Hitman, Jason Moore, I'm Andy Holloway. Welcome in for Thursday, February 13th. Any big Valentine's Day plans, gentlemen? Do you do the Valentine's Day
extravaganza? I do have big Valentine's Day plans. I'm flying to Kentucky.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Is that a common Valentine's Day trip?
This is the first time in my life I will be in Kentucky. Probably the last time
in my
life.
What are some facts you know about Kentucky?
Well, bourbon capital of the world, so I'm going to do some tours.
You do some bourbon tours?
Yeah. So
whiskey.
See you at the distilleries on Valentine's.
And this is just you by yourself?
No, me and the missus.
Okay.
Going to go taste some whiskey.
Any other Kentucky facts you've got for us?
I mean, derbies.
There's a derby. Yeah. They've got great fried chicken. Mm-hmm. that's about it. I'm tapped out.
Mike, anything I know
about Kentucky?
I did find out.
No, not about Kentucky.
Speaking of Kentucky, and this will sound really dumb to those of you in the Midwest or the East Coast or that are educated, but I found out that Kentucky is significantly further east than I thought.
Where did
you think it was?
I thought it was Kansas, I think. You know, like,
I mean, yeah, Kansas, Kentucky.
A lot of us here don't get that wrong.
Oh, if you're a West Coaster I'm informing you right now that Kentucky's not actually dead center.
The puzzle pieces could go wherever.
Right. The center 80% put them in a hopper and it doesn't matter.
Just to put you on the spot here, West Virginia, do you know where that is?
I do. West Virginia is basically south of Virginia near the East Coast.
Just making sure you knew it was over.
Yeah.
Well, he just found out Georgia
That's
had
by a, Oregon, right?
found out it had a Georgia had a coast recently.
No, it doesn't. Still don't believe you.
Okay. I was like, what? What are we talking about? Not a coastal state. No, I was just asking about Valentine's Day plans, Mike. I know your son and Kevin Durant won't be hanging out anytime soon.
No, they were getting into it.
Which is just was quite the surprise. You were at the Suns game, and then I find out your son. Well, one, he goes to the Suns game and roots for the other team.
He was rooting really for Ja Morant. And yeah, you know what? That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, okay.
That's fine. Were you at the game rooting for the Suns? No, because they stink.
That's true.
But then he started mocking Kevin started, Durant.
Yeah, he was trying to pump up people from the Grizzlies.
They didn't need it.
No.
They were going to win no matter what.
For Valentine's Day, no, I do not have anything planned.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither. Does that make me a bad
No.
A bad
no,
husband?
We have, well, I don't know what your agreement is, but the agreement in the right household is don't worry about Valentine's Day.
That's about where we are too. But if I tell people that, I do get a little embarrassed.
Well, yeah, but now if you're like, well, Jason's bringing his spouse to Kentucky.
Yeah, we're going to Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to Maine.
Whoa!
So I can be as far east as possible.
Miles traveled equals more love.
That's right. What do you think of that, Jay?
I've been outdone.
We have shocking stats on the show today. It should be fun. We've picked out, I think, five or six kind of interesting nuggets from the season.
Oh, hold on. Kyle, Kyle, this is for Kyle.
Shoot.
I asked you if you knew where West Virginia was. Mm-hmm. I was just doing a bit to make sure you knew it was on the east,
mm-hmm.
despite it being called West Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess
yeah.
I tuned out because you said it was
basically a little bit south. It is a little bit north.
I mean,
obviously it's on the western side.
Yes.
It's north.
But it's
really just west. And, in fact, Virginia goes all the way underneath West Virginia, so it can't be south.
Well, right. It's the opposite of what I said.
There must have been people listening going, oh my gosh.
And Kyle had to make sure we need to
If we do add a couple of states here soon, do we think we can get the Dakotas to combine and like the Virginias to combine and maybe even the Carolinas?
That'd be
like
great.
If we want to keep around 50.
Keep it at 50?
Because I think 50 is a good number. What
it is.
The 53 United States?
Oh,
I mean, that doesn't work.
No, the songs won't be the same. And if you can't find some to combine, we will find some to get rid of. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's true.
I don't know how bad we need Wyoming. You know, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Where is Wyoming the capital? What is it? We got to move on. All right. We got a quick question of the day before we get into some of those stats. It's a simple one. Do you have an early fantasy football crush? Oh, because of Valentine's Day. For the 2025 season. Yes, I just realized that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was putting that together. I'll kick us off here with mine. I find myself higher than consensus on both the dynasty side and kind of the super early redraft ranking side on DJ Moore. He's someone that when I see where he's going, I'm excited to take the shot on him. He's only 27 years old right now. He's coming off a season where, this might surprise you, he caught the most passes of his career this year.
Really?
He did. Yeah, 98. Now, that his previous high was the year prior at 96. Obviously significantly fewer yards. Caleb Williams was not the rookie sensation that, you know, Bears fans and management had hoped. But he did show enough. Like, I believe that Caleb Williams will figure it out. And there's also the Ben Johnson arrival. That's a big deal.
That's the really exciting part.
Yeah, that is, you know, I think that Ben Johnson, who was the belle of the ball for offensive hires this offseason, and even the last two offseasons, he proved with the Lions as their offensive coordinator with a average to above average quarterback, bringing out MVP type of offensive numbers from Jared Goff. I think he can get the most out of Caleb Williams. And specifically, if you look at that slot role that is up for grabs, that Amon-Ra St. Brown role, you're going to have Odunze on the outside. I don't think Keenan Allen's going to be back with this team. So DJ Moore should be the central first read target I project in this offense. You know, if you look at the last 2 years, only five wide receivers have more receptions. One of them is Amon-Ra St. Brown. Only seven wide receivers have more yards. One of them is Amon-Ra St. Brown. So that role, while I don't want to take anything away from Amon-Ra, he is part of the role is being awesome.
Yes.
I just think DJ Moore is also a pretty awesome player, a talented guy where if you get the ball in his hands in the right situations, lead him, get him in space, we know he can do amazing things. Kind of like, you know, what we've hoped and wanted for Terry McLaurin forever. And we finally got there.
I'll go next here. It is rookie season. I'm going to go with Travion Henderson, running back. He's out of Ohio State. No, I don't know where he is going to be drafted. I don't know when he will be drafted in the NFL draft. I would project pretty high here, at least a day two pick. But he is so exciting. We have a lot of really good rookie running backs that are going into the league here. And Henderson is just, besides Genty, Henderson is the one that is the most exciting to me. That if we get him with a really creative offense, that he is really going to be successful. He is so explosive. He had a 10-plus yard gain on 24% of his attempts. That's number one in the class, even ahead of the almighty Ashton Genty. So I'm really excited. Jason got to talk about him on the Dynasty Pod here. I didn't get to do it because it was last week, so I'm here proclaiming my love. Like, he's right now, he's my number two rookie prospect as until we get more information.
Yeah, Henderson's not my number two running back in this upcoming draft class yet. That could change based on the NFL, but it's
all are welcome to join me.
Yeah, but the thing that I do love about Henderson is he has extreme explosiveness.
Yes.
The speed is there. And so if you're just shooting for upside, you know, he was like, when I watched him, there were a lot of flashes of Jahmyr Gibbs. He's not as good as Jahmyr Gibbs by any means, but he had those plays that were like, whoa, that no one's catching him. So yeah, he's very exciting.
I think he has, like, I mean, he's a little bit smaller, so that will be the thing to watch. Not that that's the end, as we've seen here, you know, like Gibbs, Bucky, there's guys who are a little bit smaller and it's working, but he just, to me, he has everything except for an extreme amount of power, which his body archetype is not one that's going to have a bunch of power, but contact balance, he's got it. Vision, he's got it. Burst, top end speed. So I am so pumped for Henderson.
Yeah, I think he's my running back four right now. I don't have him in front, but for those of you that are new, maybe you haven't been listening to the Dynasty show or you're not familiar with this year's rookie class yet, all four are better than, like, they score better in you know, all my scouting than the number one running back of last year. This is a much better running back draft class, and it's really flip-flop.
Really? So you like these guys more than Brooks?
Yes, more than Brooks and more than Benson from last year. Yeah, I think it's a significantly better running back draft class, and then the flip side is the wide receiver draft class.
Hey,
I'm not excited yet.
Yeah.
I was shocked that DJ Moore was on, like, I hadn't seen your name pop in. I had seen he put Ashton Genty in, but DJ Moore is like, he's been a player difficult for people to get excited about.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's hard to get excited about a player who just had what appears to be a really down year with a quarterback that you're now very unsure. You know, going into last year, you were unsure but excited. Going into this year, you're really unsure but you're scared.
I would say excited and scared would be a good combination of words for the name that I have. Jameson Williams.
I'm so scared.
Jameson Williams is he's a player that when the ball is in his hands, there is no question or doubt that he has just next-level NFL talent. He's had problems being consistent, being healthy, being featured.
Not betting on sports. So, you know, that's just, you know, just the normal problems.
So there have been some obstacles.
There's been some bumps in the road.
There's been some obstacles, but last year over 1,000.
There's some parlays in the road, Jay.
Yeah, over 1,000 yards receiving, so explosive on his 58 receptions. I do think there's the opportunity for him to become more and more valuable for fantasy football. He still finished as the wide receiver 18, missed two games due to that suspension you talked about. And very young. High draft capital, explosive, kind of fits the mold of the type of player that makes a bigger fantasy impact, even than what Amon-Ra does. Amon-Ra kind of has managed to be the receiver, the slot receiver, the PPR receiver that still produces for fantasy, still gets into the end zone, but not necessarily the prototype, right? The Jamar Chase, the Jefferson, a Metcalf, those type of guys. Jameson Williams is the Jalen Waddle, the Tyreek Hill. He will score on end arounds the way Jaden Reed does, or Tyreek Hill has. So I think I'm very excited about Jameson Williams moving into the future, because I could see a season where you go from 58 and 1,000 to you know, maybe it's 75 and 1,400. I don't think that that's a – with 10 touchdowns. Like, he could score 10 touchdowns. So, to me, that's a player I am cautiously optimistic
about. Yeah, I mean, the arrow is pointing up. It took a while because he had that large suspension early in his career, then the smaller suspension. He had injuries, and this was such a good team. They didn't need Jameson Williams. Now he's like an active core part. I think going into this offseason and next year, he'll be better this coming season than he was this last year. And like you said, he finishes the wide receiver 18. The interesting thing to me is where he's going to be drafted come August. Right now on early best ball ADP on Underdog, he's the wide receiver 23. So that seems like a pretty good value.
Yeah, I'm interested in that.
All right, let's talk some news.
News and notes from around the league.
Well, we know it to be certain now. Kellen Moore, the head coach of the New Orleans Saints.
What a wild ride.
For Kellen?
For Kellen Moore. The fantasy nerds, we were so excited for Kellen Moore. Got a couple of really good years. Or like, hey, he could be another up-and-coming offensive mind here in the NFL. And then Dallas is like, nah, we'll see you later. He goes to the Chargers. It's not that great. And then immediately gets picked up by Philadelphia, seemingly helps resurrect their offense from the ashes that it was, you know, a couple years ago. And now he's a head coach. Like, I'm saying, he was hot, and then it was, oh, Kellen Moore it's going to fade into the mist. And now he's head coach.
Yeah, I think the coaching carousel season worked out really well for him in the sense that everybody was scooped up first. This was the last remaining job. He goes to the Super Bowl and wins. And I do think it's a good hire. I've been excited about Kellen Moore. I think he's a very competent offensive mind in the NFL. I mean, you've had him lead really good offenses for now three different franchises, essentially in 3 years in a row. So he'll be on his fourth franchise in 4 years. Fourth different quarterback, but he's had success everywhere. It hasn't necessarily been overwhelming, like, oh, they were a top five offense, but he hasn't been bad anywhere.
It's a big transition for him, and we saw this literally. The head coach they could have hired that they wanted to hire, it's been reported ahead of Kellen Moore, who turned it down, was Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury, great offensive mind, turned it around with Jaden Daniels in Washington, and yet maybe the head coaching job wasn't for him. Being focused on the offense and not leading a locker room. So that'll be new. Brandon Staley is going to take over the defense, I believe, in New Orleans. So it will look different there. And
So Brandon Staley was the head coach when he was the offensive coordinator.
Right.
Right? And so now they're flipping. Have we ever seen that?
I don't know I that we realize, have now I that you're mentioning.
I didn't realize until
those,
this
Were those
second,
aligned?
I think those were aligned. Yeah, right? Because, yeah, the –
Wow. Yeah. So they flipped jobs.
So you used to work for.
I'm the captain now.
I don't. Kyle, you got to see if this has ever happened before, at least in such quick succession. It's not like, oh, a decade later, I bring someone back that
this
I used
two
to.
2 years.
This is, yeah, the year after next, you will work for me and I will be that coach. How funny.
That's wild. Bobby Slowick, who he went from the hotness to the notness.
Yes.
Is now the senior passing game coordinator for the Dolphins, who we will talk about on today's show in the shocking stats.
Oh, man.
And we won't talk about them positively.
Yeah. Do you believe that when it is, say, second and 11, as the passing game coordinator, he will recommend not passing? Will he say, like, we should run? Because that's sure what he did as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, we hope not. We hope not. Travis Kelce says he's going to take some time to decide whether he'll return to the Chiefs. You guys have a early gut, guess
right.
for what's going to happen?
I don't know if I have a full early gut, but if you actually listen to the quote, I mean, it's Kelce on his podcast talking to his brother, and he just lost the Super Bowl, and it wasn't they got him thoroughly embarrassed. And I think he's still really feeling the emotions of the loss. So he had, what was it, like a week before the Super Bowl, he was talking about how he has so much football left in him. So I think that it is it's just dealing with the weight of that massive loss. And I don't know that he's actually ready to retire, but like when you're listening to him do this quote, it sure sounds like he's ready.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he wants to go out like that. I mean, not just losing the Super Bowl. I think he could go out on a season where they don't get to the Super Bowl and whatever. But it was a really bad game for him. I mean, there's been so many, you know, if you're on Twitter, you see all these clips. There's a handful of them. Some are not fair to him. But there are some that's like, wow, he missed on this. He whiffed on that. He looks slower.
A miss and whiff.
But on that podcast, he talks about how it was a really bad game for him that, you know, not just on his play, but on the sidelines, like motivating, lifting people
up. Yeah, he
said
I needed to be a better leader.
Yeah. And so it's like, I don't think that is what he wants his final game of his career to be. I expect him to play. I do expect him to continue naturally to get worse.
I think he'll retire.
That's your call? Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I've thought that. Right now, I think he'll retire. Your odds of getting to the Super Bowl, I know you're the Chiefs, but they're not high.
Yeah.
So if you want to go out in a Super Bowl, I mean, I know you didn't win it, but if your skills are declining, if you don't have the fire.
I believe the odds of getting to the Super Bowl are 85% in the Patrick Mahomes era.
Maybe not anymore.
Yeah.
And
maybe we're going to enter the Burrow zone.
I mean, if anyone is set up for
the zone. Burrow zone.
Sorry. What? You hijacked my point for that?
When like, it's in look, your look, head.
If you're going to interrupt with a great joke, I'm for it every single time. That was a bad joke.
I will concur and I will agree.
I need an apology.
But I won't apologize because I assume you were saying something that wasn't important. So, you know, it's like we're even.
That's fair. Talking about Travis Kelce is set up. Most of these guys, I'm sure, have absolutely no idea that like football has been your life and now football's gone. What do you possibly do? Travis Kelce has some stuff lined up.
Oh yeah, I mean he'll have whatever he wants.
Yes.
Jordan Addison filed for a continuation of his DUI case. Pre-trial hearing March 12th. Don't forget Addison. Big year. Really got it going, but still has to deal with this DUI case.
Mm-hmm.
Mike McDonald, Seahawks are working through whether Lockett will be on the roster in 2025. I know you guys had talked about him leaving. I had assumed that he would restructure. I don't think he's, at 33 years old, a prime candidate for being picked up and having a role somewhere else. We'll see what happens.
I think
his cap hit is way too high.
Yeah, it's up to the Seahawks as to whether they want to pay for more of Tyler Lockett's services. Because if they do, they'll have to restructure, kick the money out a little further. But I'm not sure if
it looks like that's what they're figuring out. It's working through whether both sides can agree to something.
Yeah, when they evaluate the play, I don't know that it's in their best interest. I mean, right now he's a $30.9 million cap hit and only $13 million in dead cap. That's still a pretty big dead cap number, but I feel like if I was the general manager,
for a 600-yard receiver?
Yeah, I would just cut ties and move my franchise forward.
Did you guys see Baby Koobs talking about Ken Bone Walker?
No, but that's I know what that does to you.
I mean, it's we're living in the permanent state of canine hype.
Yeah. Well,
we only get hype.
That's well.
He's a hype machine.
It's exciting.
The Bone Zone.
And look, it's that time of the year. I mean, that's all we are going to be doing now is breaking down what coaches are saying about their players, and I am very excited.
Well, the comments were just alluding to throwing the ball to the running back position.
There was that, yes.
Which he is one of them.
Yes.
So,
but it wasn't like he was specifically talking about Ken Walker. This wasn't, you know, we're going to get Ken going, we're going to get Charbs going. It was Ken Walker propaganda. And I accept
didn't
it.
Didn't we? I mean, we just got that from Grubb.
Yeah, and I think Grubb told the truth. I mean, look how much Ken Walker actually caught the ball this year.
On the truth episode, we did see that when Kenneth Walker was playing, he was very good. He was obviously dealt with injuries. That's a huge issue for Kenneth Walker, who's not been able to stay healthy. But he was good for fantasy.
A reminder, the Ultimate Draft Kit pre-order available right now at ultimatedraftkit.com. You get instant access to the Dynasty Pass, all of our rookie rankings, and a whole lot more available for the Dynasty players. ultimatedraftkit.com. If you order by March 1st, you can enter. You'll be automatically entered to win a Listener League spot and get some other sweet pre-order perks again by March 1st, ultimatedraftkit.com. We'll take a break and we'll jump into some shocking stats from 2024.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Let's talk flags for a moment. Not the kinds the refs pull on the field. I'm talking about something else. Green flags in relationships. Stuff you look for in a partner. You know, for me, you want to look for enjoying being around them. You want to look for shared common traits. It's different for everybody. Relationships take effort. And if you want to make things work, I'd suggest therapy. It's a great tool that can help you navigate all sorts of relationship problems. And therapy can help you tackle other problems too. I've had therapy for years, and you go through highs and you go through lows. Sometimes you're stressed. Sometimes things are going well. And it's really nice to be able to talk about both of those things to help empower you to be the best version of yourself. An excellent place to start when it comes to therapy is BetterHelp. It's convenient and affordable since everything is online, and you'll have access to thousands of therapists with a variety of specialties. And if your first one isn't a good fit, you can switch at any time at no extra cost. Discover your relationship green flags with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers. This episode is brought to you by USAA Auto Insurance. When it comes to auto insurance, USAA is the perfect first-round pick. With USAA, you get award-winning service that's easy and reliable with 24/7 online claims. For our military community, it's the service that goes above and beyond at a great value. Get a quote at usaa.com/auto. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
All right, let's do it.
How'd you do that? It's actually, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
That's a pretty good graphic right there.
Yeah.
For those watching.
The first time that I saw that, I really stayed quiet.
Except for the part where it like went.
There was like a real long.
It did go to black. It went to black.
Hard fade there.
Little no
wipe,
fade.
A wipe.
Hard cut to black.
Well, won't be fixing that in post.
Oh, I forget. Al's always like, please, just don't say
just
anything.
Just don't mention it.
Don't talk about it.
We don't have to show our warts. Yes, yeah. We do.
Yeah. Do we? All right. Shocking stats from 2024. We'll start here. We'll call it Miami Vice or Miami's Vice. The Dolphins. Listen to this. 31st in the NFL with 45 total plays of 20 plus yards. That is 31 fewer explosive plays compared to last year. In fact, when you think of that team, you always thought about explosive plays. Tyreek Hill had 19 targets of 20 plus air yards that ended up with 5 receptions and 1 touchdown, which means that these players had more 20 plus air yard receptions than Tyreek.
This is unacceptable.
A 32-year-old Keenan Allen.
Wow.
A 33-year-old Adam Thielen.
I still got it.
A Jalen Tolbert. An Andre Yoshivas. A Tutu Atwell and a Kayshon Boutte. Yeah. So
the question is,
are they a buy low offense?
Unacceptable.
Or the beginning of a boring offense.
Right. And, you know,
they saw what the Chiefs did, and they're like, we got to get in on that.
Yeah. It's back-to-back Super Bowls by just dinking and dunking. You know, most of the time, recency bias wins, and you say whatever happened last year is what's going to happen next year, just mentally. I think in order to have that take, there has to be additional reason. And here it seems like there is. One is the end of Tyreek Hill's playing career. He is clearly closer to that than ever. It looked like, you know, he slowed down a bit. Certainly the stats bear that out, considering he didn't miss any games and had about half the yards of the season prior. But the other is the change of the offensive mindset with Tua, where he gets the ball out way too quickly. I mean, it's just like, the ball is snapped and it's out. And I guess it works. It especially works against bad teams. But I don't know how much of that is to protect from the concussion, protect from the poor offensive line play. Maybe if the offensive line was more trustworthy, they'd give him time in the pocket to air things out. Right now, though, it's like Tyreek Hill's going to be older, and you're going to forever worry about the concussion issues. So I think it's more of the same this next year.
There is a difference between what works and what we want as fantasy players. We clearly have a Kansas City Chiefs football team that has distinguished between the two. We don't get what we want in Kansas City very often, but it has worked for them.
65% of Tua's attempts were fewer than 10 yards.
To me, it seems like a bit of an experiment by a franchise saying, hey, we'd rather have this version of the offense but a competent Tua who's on the field and healthy and not getting hit all the time than a more explosive offense which might fit Mike McDaniel's offense better but would require a different quarterback because they committed money to Tua.
Yeah,
and Tua can execute an offense, whether it's, you know, he could execute the deep pass offense too. But it seemed like they made a cognizant decision. And so do we get what we want? It sounds like you're saying no.
I believe we will not get what we desire with our hearts, which is massive explosivo offense. This is also a team that was second place in the division. And Miami's splits when they play good teams versus bad teams are wild. You know, they're 3-14 versus teams with winning records in their 3 years with him as head coach.
He's got to be on the hot seat.
He'll definitely be on the hot seat this year. I mean, he's been forgiven a lot because of the Tua injuries. But that being said, the franchise, the general manager, it seems like they don't want to go and sign a really good backup quarterback because, you know, they want to not just protect Tua physically in the game, but like mentally, you know, this is Tua's franchise. We're not going to go out. We don't need a prolific backup, someone that could come in and compete for the job, but that's the wrong.
It's beyond stupid.
It's so dumb.
And I think it has to change after this past year's experience, right?
I don't think it will change. I certainly agree that, I mean, if I was the general manager, that would be one of the number one things I'd be looking at is who's a backup quarterback that can come in here and get us to the playoffs, because that's my job as a general manager is to win football games should another injury happen, which
Mariota maybe.
Yeah.
Somebody like that.
Yeah, I mean
they're not
hire.
A lot of them. I mean,
no.
It's easy to criticize, but I mean, it's hard to find.
Is Flacco?
Your Sam.
I don't know.
Andy Dalton, you know, those guys are few and far between.
I mean, Flacco could do the check down offense.
Tua's under contract until 2029.
What?
Yeah.
It's that long?
Yeah.
Who?
But I think Tua is a really great player. It's just philosophically, we saw a complete changeover in that offense, which, look, if you believe that about the offense, then maybe you have your question marks around, you know, can Jalen Waddle be a prolific fantasy player or not?
He's
going to have to do a lot with short area targets.
I think the nice thing will be ADP. You know, all we have to quote right now is best ball ADP, but like Tyreek is at wide receiver 12 going around pick number 22, and then let me scroll. Let me find Jalen Waddle. Where you at, bro? He's going at
55!
So Jalen Waddle right now is going as wide receiver 30. So the risk is being baked into the ADP, which for me means that I'll take some shots on that.
Where it's not being baked in, though, is we saw Achane was at 4.
Oh, yeah.
So could Devon Achane in this offense be the number one overall running back?
I doubt it.
I don't think so.
Can't give you an Eckler year in this offense?
I mean, certainly with the pass.
100 receptions?
Yeah, with the pass catching volume, he can be top five. I think for all parties here, for the avoiding the quick release, protecting Tua, helping the run game, they have got to make this offseason about the offensive line. Their offensive line needs to be the primary focus. If they want to fix their offense, they have to fix their offensive line.
Shocking stat number two, we'll call it James, was cooking in 2024. James Cook, fantasy points via TD, the percentage of fantasy points via touchdown, 43%. We had a brief moment, I think, 3 or 4 weeks ago where I made a statement about James Cook and how I'd be out on him for next year. very strong reactions as though I thought he wasn't a good player, which was not my point. It was cost mm-hmm. in the draft, the fantasy drafts, versus likelihood of receiving a level of production as great as we just received from him. He had fewer opportunity snaps and yards than last year, which is shocking because you had a season last year where you knew you were moving on from competition and you thought you would be getting a more full-time role. Instead, we had weeks where like, oh, that's a lot of Ty Johnson, you know? Yeah. And then Ray Davis. Oh, like Ray Davis seems to be the guy that at a minimum this past year was your salt away the game guy, right? Like you're up by a lot of points. Let's just let Ray Davis have the fourth quarter.
Ray Davis had 6 touchdowns on his own, 3 passing, 3 rushing, and 8 into the passing work. Like James Cook is a really good pass catching back. 2 years ago, he had 63% of the running back target share for this team, and that fell to 48% this year because they had a 3-way committee.
James Cook had 16 rushing touchdowns. 43% of his fantasy points came via touchdown. He was the number one in the NFL in terms of the highest percentage of attempts turning into a touchdown. So all of that, look, it speaks to the fact that he's an explosive player. Big runs were in the repertoire. 7.7% of his attempts were turned into a touchdown. But over the last 6 years, that high of a percentage was a direct signal in fantasy for regression the following year.
For points coming from touchdowns?
Yeah. And so you look at that and you say, what odds are you playing here? Can you score 16 more times? And if you can't, it necessitates your volume increasing or your pass catching increasing. Like something has to get you back to that point if you're not scoring 16 times. And look, it doesn't matter who you are. If 16 times for Derrick Henry, you've got a chance of being down at 11 or 12.
Yeah, there's no way you would bet for a repeat of that. I mean, if you put the line at 10.5 touchdowns for James Cook, it would be very difficult to take the over there. So there's going to be significant regression there. On the plus side for James Cook, though, and what we need to give him credit for doing this year is he was very explosive, and he's a super good running back. He made a difference. We saw it through the playoffs, right? The commentators, the world at large realized James Cook is their second best offensive player, period. It's Josh Allen is the leader, and their next best weapon is James Cook. So if you're saying that there is a weapon that can score touchdowns, can catch the ball, can rush for over 1,000 yards on a great offense, right now he's being drafted as the running back 13 at this point for early best ball. He's outproduced that spot the last 2 years. 2 years ago, he was the running back 11, even though he only had 2 touchdowns. This last year, running back 8 with all these touchdowns. So will you still be out? Any of the arguments online sway you at running back 13 next year for you to consider being in on James Cook, or you still feel like now his role has gone down and the touchdowns won't be there?
I think it's just a matter of whether you believe he can ascend to being one of those top tier, whatever you want to say, the Saquons, Gibbs, Bijan, Kyren from a workload perspective. Is that in his future?
No.
And I don't currently have a conviction watching him play football that's how they're going to utilize him. I look at it more like Aaron Jones in Green Bay, where, mm-hmm. look, you could, on the right year, you will end up around the number 5-6 at the position. But the team has shown they're willing to use a rotation of backs. They did it to great success. They won the division. I don't know. I mean, that was one of the problems in the playoffs.
Aaron Jones is the best comp imaginable because he wasn't a guy that went out there and, was getting 350 opportunities a year. This is a guy who was, usually 264, 232, and finished as the running back 2, 5, 12, 9, kind of these same finishes as James Cook. And he even had a season with 16 rushing touchdowns, Aaron Jones did. The following season, he had 9 rushing touchdowns. So he was, obviously it's going to be difficult, if not basically impossible, for the average back to go back-to-back 15-plus rushing touchdowns. It's tough to just be out on James Cook, though.
All right, shocking stat number 3, we'll call it the target packing order. I don't know if I like that title.
I get it.
You know what I mean?
Well, once you explain Packers, it. Yeah, yeah, it's the Packers.
Kyle, not my favorite. The Packers were the only team
busted
in the NFL without a single player seeing a target share above 19%.
Did we bring up the Josh Jacobs quote?
Yeah, Josh Jacobs quote, it was a headline maker. If you listen to him say it, it's softer than the way it came across in the headlines, because he gives a lot of credit to the receiving core and the talent that they have.
Before he drives the bus over.
It wasn't even that to me. It was more like...
like a light pickup
truck?
It
was like, these are guys... and again, let me read that stat again. The Packers are the only team in the NFL without a single player above 19% of the target share. In fact, Jaden Reed had the fewest receptions, which was...
55!
Of any player to lead a team with 11-plus wins since 2015. But his point was more like, here's a bunch of guys that might be able to ascend to become a number one, but it would be nice if we had a number one already. That was kind of the point. Like, it'd be nice if we had somebody that was a proven commodity, and everyone keeps hinting about Davante Adams coming back home, because he's probably going to be dropped by the Jets.
I don't think Adams wants to do that.
He wants to stay in California.
Yeah, he's like, I've been in the snow.
But, that would be a reuniting of Josh Jacobs.
Put a roof over Lambeau and Davante Adams.
And Davante Adams. So it was, you know, I think there were some strong reactions. I think Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks in particular were vocal about their displeasure with the quote.
Oh, I did not see that. Yeah. I am totally there for that.
Go ahead and take a scan of that. To which I say, go be a number one, and then he will not have said that. Go demand a target share above 19%.
It's really hard to criticize someone for telling the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like it's not always kind. Sometimes it's insulting. I don't think he intended to be insulting, but if the truth is insulting, you can't be too mad at someone. You could say, like, decorum, that you don't say that to the media.
Yes.
But is he wrong? I guess, let me ask you that. Is he wrong? Do the Packers already have a true alpha wide receiver
proven,
one?
No, they do not have a proven number one wide receiver.
Can one of these guys become a true alpha wide receiver one?
I don't think so.
So all he did was say what everyone
sees. But
you
don't do that to your family out in the public.
Yeah,
with the quote
I get that.
Because to say, quote, they all have the potential to be a number one, but we need a guy that's proven to be a number one.
Yeah.
Like,
that's why I don't mind. You don't like that comment?
It's a backhanded compliment to me.
Here's the thing.
Like, you could be it, but I guess we need someone who is.
Like, my kids
aren't.
Could do their homework all the time, but I would love to have a kid that did their homework all the time. You know?
Are you going
to
bring that one home?
I'm just saying, I'm testing it
out,
how it feels to put my family
on.
Exactly. I'm putting them on blast.
Yeah, that sounds like you need a new kid. I think that's a little apples and oranges.
I'm just saying, I'm trying to think, you know, if it's my
team.
If
there's a free agent kid out there that did their homework, you might sign him?
Just saying.
Or her?
It would be great to have one on the team that, like,
I could trust did
their homework.
Proven number one kid.
A proven number one kid. That's what I'm saying.
If you look at that wide receiver.
I love my kids, and they all have the talent and the ability to be my favorite.
But they're, like, number twos.
I just wish there was, like, a proven favorite, you know?
I think you figured out a lot here.
I don't think Jaden Reed can be that guy. If you look at the pathway, I think Jaden Reed is number two. And I think the only one on the entire roster that could actually do it would be Dontavian Wicks. I think he's the only one.
If he could catch.
We're at the career place for Romeo Doubs where you're not going up. You're just what you are.
I think Romeo Doubs is a strong supporting wide receiver.
Yes, support. And they seem to have a team of supporting wide receivers.
Yeah.
So I agree with the comment, but I – you know, the big question is, will this change? Are you bullish would you be bullish about the Green Bay offense going into next year with Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs if they don't have another person? Or are you always going to be playing the roulette at wide receiver with this group?
If they don't do anything to help with the Christian Watson injury, I'll be more concerned. But I feel like I've seen enough of LaFleur and his offenses and Jordan Love's ability to say that the Packers will still be a strong offense with these guys that it feels like we're crapping on, but we're trying to say that they're still competent players. With that group, they were still top 10 in most major statistics, 8th in points scored, 5th in yards gained, 6th in passing touchdown rate, 6th in expected points per pass attempt. Like, This was a strong offense. And like you can put Tucker Kraft in there of maybe not a number one tight end, but like it can be very helpful to an offense. So overall, I'm still going to be in on the Packers, but I do hope they add. I do hope they add a number one.
How excited would you be for Jordan Love if Devontae Adams came to that roster? Or somebody of that pedigree.
Yeah,
I'd be much more excited.
I'd be very excited.
I mean, trade for DK Metcalf.
Dontavian Wicks is a really interesting name.
DK Metcalf, a number one wide receiver?
Yeah. I think he is. I really do. I think he is.
I think if he had a really good quarterback, yeah. He's at least an alpha wide receiver one from like a
in capability. Muscles, yeah.
Yeah, just a capability standpoint. I like
so Romeo Andy. Just got to go. He's got to get the HGH and bulk up.
I don't think there's some things you can't do. You just don't grow as tall.
A lot of DK Metcalf trade rumors again.
I am.
The team seems ready to move on from him.
I'm glad that you brought up Dontavian Wicks as the one guy who maybe could do it because I think this season we all wanted him to do it. He's got the talent. He's always open. He earns the targets. He doesn't catch them very well.
He caught 39 of 74 targets. I'm not sure what how many were catchable. I would assume most.
But he does have a lot of traits that appear really good. And it's hard, you know, when you're a Packer to not see, and especially with the quotes from LaFleur about how he reminds him of Devontae Adams. Do you remember when Devontae Adams' first 1,000-yard season came? What year it was?
Yeah, it was year four, I think.
I think four.
Year five.
Five.
Oof. Yeah, because I spent 4 years insulting
he kept
Devontae
like
Adams to get to 990.
Right?
But he's not the rule.
No. Well, he is the exception. But, you know, his first 2 years, 446 yards, 483 yards. Sometimes we are quick to just kill a player's career.
I think Dontavian Wicks, if he could catch the football, he's got everything else.
Yeah, exactly. So he's just got to learn one thing.
Just
learn how to catch.
Just learn the one
Get
thing.
Get this man a jugs machine.
He needs the receiving part.
They're way more expensive.
Did you look into a jugs machine?
We
were talking about this at some point and found out it's a machine that does very little. It seems
there's two little tires.
It seems not complicated to build, and they're like, yeah, it'll be a couple $1,000.
There's two little tires. You know what I mean? And then it's like,
oh,
and,
Jordan, yeah, because Jordan Mason bought one, so we went into that and discussion.
You know, poles that go to the ground. That the material cost is like, I don't know, what is it, $50? You're gonna charge me thousands for this?
Well, you gotta sink the tires up, real science like.
Someone's got a good patent on that, and they're holding out.
Pat Riley does. It's Pat Riley. It's Pat Riley's patent. All right, we'll take a break. We got some more stats for you. What's up, Foot Clan? This episode is brought to you by Vuori. Vuori is performance apparel that's designed for working out, but it doesn't look or feel like it. And let me tell you, the Ponto Performance Jogger, it's a game changer. It's part of Vuori's Dream Knit collection. It's soft, it's super soft and lightweight. And what I like about it is I can wear it, it looks casual, and then I can play some pickleball in those things. It's a performance jogger, it looks great. It's perfect for them, the low-impact workouts, or maybe I'll play some one-on-one, maybe that high-impact workout too, or maybe you're doing some yoga or some stretching, or even sitting at the desk in the studio. Whatever you do, it'll keep you comfortable for hours without sacrificing style, and they're my go-to for relaxing days at home. Go to Vuori.com/ballers to get 20% off your first purchase. Exclusions apply. Visit the website for full terms and conditions.
You want control of your financial future, and Schwab knows that. That's why when it comes to managing your wealth, we give you more choices, like full-service wealth management and advice when you need it most. You can also invest on your own and trade on thinkorswim, our powerful award-winning trading platforms. Plus, you'll get low costs, transparent pricing, and 24/7 live help. Because at Schwab, we understand it's your financial journey, and we believe you should have choices in how you invest. Visit schwab.com to learn more.
You know, before we went to break, I brought up Pat Riley's name because he has the...
He's always up to no good.
He's got the three-peat trademark. But then I realized like he had come to an agreement with the NFL and others to be able to use it. But I also thought when he signed that, it's all contingent upon the Chiefs winning. Like, you're not printing up stuff.
Pat Riley's pretty upset.
So, like, right he now. Lost...
All the money he was about
that was
to
like...
Make.
That was a big bet on Kansas City.
Hope he didn't start spending that money.
All right, number four on our shocking stats today.
I think Pat Riley's okay.
Yeah.
He's probably okay. Welcome to the Laser Show. Baker Mayfield's eight finishes
Who?
Baker Mayfield's 8 finishes. Inside the top 5 were the most among all quarterbacks. More than Lamar, more than Burrow, more than Josh Allen.
This is my favorite part.
In fact, that is tied for the most Mahomes has ever had in a season. 8 finishes inside the top 5 at the position on a season in which 4,541 was the accomplishment. And it's wild because I've been thinking about Godwin, right? Like, mm-hmm. Godwin has the injury. He's a free agent. To me, like, the injury might be the pathway to coming back.
I think he's back.
To Baker, Bakertown. Then you'd have quite the group for Baker for another year, Godwin coming back at some point, and then Evans and McMillan and Otten and company. So it's interesting to say, is Baker going to have, you know, more than one elite year when you're a pocket passer? Sure, there's a lot of variability, but he ran for 378 yards this past year. He scored 3 times on the ground. He's 29 years old. How many more top 5 finishes do you think he has as a starting quarterback rest of his career?
Like a rest of season top 5?
No,
no, the rest of his career, how many times does he finish on the week in the top 5?
Not that, I didn't mean that either.
All right, huddle up.
I meant what I said, which is how many.
Say it again.
Do the play call.
How many more top 5 fantasy seasons does he have as a starting quarterback?
Got it. So end of season. Yeah.
Yes.
0.
So
you think never again?
I think
so
never.
The thing
again.
I agreed with you. All right. You're never. You're never. Back in the top 5?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be top 5.
You're forgetting about the dog.
He's got that dog in
him. The dog is there.
The dog is barking.
Like,
is angry.
Not all pocket passers have the dog.
That's true, but
that's an angry dog.
This is his 7th season. This was his first season in the top 5 as a fantasy finish ever. And he did that on the back of, this is the one stat that is very predictably unsustainable for everyone, even the superstars. We talk about this when Patrick Mahomes does it. We talked about this back in the day when Aaron Rodgers did it. When your touchdown passing rate, the percentage of your passes that turn into touchdowns, is outlandishly high for your career average, that doesn't stick. That's not a stat that's like, well, because he did it last year, he has leveled up.
7.2%.
7.2. And the years prior, 4.9, 3, 4.1, 5.3, 4.1, 5.6. Like, we know who Baker is, and it's not a bad quarterback. He's a good quarterback. Even if he's leveled up, he's not going to throw 7.2% touchdown percentage next year.
Maybe not.
I bet my house on it.
I agree with that, but his career is so bizarre. And
yeah, I don't the 7-year argument. Like he's got 2 years that we can pay attention to.
I mean, his first 3 years in Cleveland, he was at 5.6, 4.1, and 5.3. So I'm gonna put him closer into the 5s.
Sure.
Which
that's fair.
That's above league average. I don't think he's going to get to 7.2, but we've now seen him as a starter in Tampa Bay for 2 years. He was over 4,000 yards in both of them. The first year was just 28 touchdowns, then it jumped up to 41. I think we're somewhere, I think 28 would be.
If I set the line at 34 touchdowns next year, 34 touchdowns, do you take?
I would take the under.
That's a really good.
I think I take the over.
I think it's a really good line.
I think he'll throw 35.
But it's going to, like, if he only threw 28 touchdowns and played a full season and he's at 4,200 yards or whatever, that would surprise me. So,
that was good enough for a quarterback 10 for what it's worth in 2023. Nice thing about Baker, 17 games played, 2 consecutive years. They're always fighting for their playoff spot at the end of the season.
Right.
And he plays through injury.
He just, because of the.
I'll say one more time, though.
The way that his career has gone.
One more time. Maybe not next year.
I like Baker. I think I have him much higher in dynasty startup rankings than most people do.
So you're saying, because I love Baker. I love watching him. I love rooting for him. And I think he's a very good quarterback, but you're saying you love him specifically for fantasy. Like you are higher than consensus on what you believe he'll score for you.
Yeah, I mean, I like the situation. Got a first ballot Hall of Fame wide receiver, Jay.
I have Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield on my dynasty team, and I genuinely I look at Baker, who is a throw-in backup in a trade, as my better quarterback.
Man, Baker Kyler. So that's a crazy conversation.
You pulled up a stat yesterday, Jay, or Mike did, with the all-time, I think it was you, Mike, the all-time completion percentage leader.
Oh,
we were talking about Burrow.
Yeah, it was a Goodberry tweet.
Yeah, it was something with the minimum games played. He's actually currently, if
Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow, if his career was to be over right now, would be the all-time
leader in completion percentage. And Kyler
with Breeze at number two, and then yeah. Kyler was at three?
Yeah.
So, Mike, final answer then. How many more top five seasons the rest of his career?
I think I went with one. I think it is at least one. I will go, man, top five is so
that's a tough one.
Tough. I'll probably say one, but.
And you're at zero, Jay?
But very useful for fantasy.
Yeah, and that is not, I don't want it to come across as me saying that he's not good for fantasy, but top five is
it comes
really
across as
difficult.
Though you hate Baker, and you're not allowed to root for him
ever
again.
The people who are listening right now, they listen all year, and they know how much I love Baker Mayfield.
How many top fives for
Laser?
For Justin Herbert?
How many top fives for Justin Herbert left in his career?
Yeah,
it's a good question.
That's a great counter argument because I certainly would.
I mean, he's younger.
I would not put it at zero at all. I think he has three more top fives.
Wow,
three more.
Yeah.
Huh.
So Herbert
better get to it.
Herbert's about to be 27.
Yes.
And sir. Currently has one top five finish.
I would probably say one more for Herbert.
But I bring him up to just
– Yeah, it's a good
name.
He's a
pocket passer. Herbert runs a little bit like Baker does.
How many more for Burrow?
Oh, quite a few.
Well, you have to assume he misses every other season, so that's gonna lower that number. And then he gets the comeback player of the year
– Every other season.
Every other season.
Dude, Burrow out here nonstop publicly putting the pressure on his team is so – delicious. Like, he just did it again. He was talking about the Eagles because they were like talking, you know, how salary cap works, and he was explaining, well, I can, you know, if we convert some of my contract and moves things around, he's like, they should just do what the Eagles do. Like, they're paying everybody and it seems to work.
Yeah, that's a tough sell on certain ownership groups. You saw, I mean, they just literally had another player request a trade today, so
yeah. But they have so much cap.
Yeah, they don't like to spend it. Certain ownership groups are better than others.
Yeah.
They don't hear cap. They hear profit.
Figure it out, man. Get T back there.
That'll be our last one for today then. Bungling Bengals. The Bengals were leading or tied on 69% of their offensive plays in 2024.
That is absurd.
It's pretty nice.
Only the Vikings had a higher rate, and they were the only team in the NFL at 60-plus percent that did not make the playoffs. So they were leading and playing well. And just, you know, 1-7 and 1-score games.
Woof. It's the anti-Chiefs there.
That was before 3-0 in their final three games. But, look, their defense, atrocious across the board in every category. They lost their defensive coordinator or let him go this offseason.
You know how Mike Tomlin is too good of a coach to allow the Pittsburgh Steelers the opportunity to draft a top five future quarterback
to miss
so he kind of nerfs them in the playoffs because they don't have a Super Bowl caliber team, but he always takes the caliber he has and gets them to the playoffs, so people are mad that he's not winning in the playoffs. He's a great coach. He's just kind of hurting them because he's not bad enough.
Right.
This is the exact opposite situation with the Bengals. The exact opposite. Joe Burrow is too good to allow Zach Taylor to get fired. But what needs to happen is, what I mean? Like,
is this the new guy?
No, Zach Taylor is not a putrid, stinky coach like the new guy, like the Dennis Allen. I don't hate Zach Taylor. Okay. I don't think Zach Taylor is a good enough coach to, like, it's doing a disservice to Joe Burrow. I want to see him have, you know, someone that comes in who knows how to help a franchise win.
I couldn't be on the more opposite side of
you,
Zach Taylor. The problem was the defense. Zach Taylor was a promoted quarterback's coach. He's got the best quarterback in football and an amazing offense. The defense was bottom five. So you can blame Zach Taylor for not firing a heralded head coaching candidate and the fire defensive coordinator. Kyle, help me out here.
Lou Anarumo.
Anarumo, not origami.
Samsonite.
Lou Anarumo was the fault. So to me, it's like, you've got the best freaking offense in football. You're doing all the right stuff.
I know what you're saying there. And obviously, the defense was the issue for this team.
And they went to the Super Bowl with Zach Taylor.
But there are still, just on a game-by-game basis, play calling and decision-making and cowardice that I think is not, you know.
Never forgiven him for P. Ryan.
Oh,
the Super Bowl?
That's one of 100, man.
You bring it up. Yes, you did. You bring it up all the time because you have particular plays you don't like. And maybe you're right. Maybe this is one of those teams like that needs to make the change to take further advantage of Joe Burrow. I mean, the Bulls did it with Jordan, right? They moved on from winning seasons.
Yeah, from a good coach to a great coach.
To a great coach. The Warriors did it, right? They won a lot of games with Mark Jackson, went on to Steve Kerr.
Like maybe Harbaugh coming into the Chargers feels like what I want to have happen for the Bengals. But to be fair, I don't know that there's a Harbaugh sitting out there.
Is there a great coach that doesn't have a job?
I mean, Bill Belichick was available.
I do not want Bill Belichick coaching my team.
I think everyone thinks that, including NFL teams.
Yes, they have proven that.
It's like, you're the best, but like, no thank you.
He's so old.
Yeah, he is. He is
quite
old.
But Pete Carroll got a job.
Pete Carroll, yeah.
And
would you have been more excited for the Raiders with Carroll or Belichick?
That's a good question.
That's funny because my answer is
I think it's Carroll.
Yeah, mine too.
Carroll, because Pete Carroll is more willing to do something like bring Chip Kelly in, where Belichick will come in and I mean, like greatest coach of all time, Bill Belichick with no Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
At the end there. One of them went and won a Super Bowl. The other one faded into the mist.
I wish. Why can't you just have like co-head coaches? Like two. Brilliant offensive mind, brilliant defensive mind.
That's kind of what the coordinators
are.
No, but that's all there is. There's just two.
So there's no coordinators. It's just two head coaches?
Nah, two head coaches. It's like Taylor and Spags from the Chiefs. Co-head coaches.
I don't know.
That'd be who awkward locker tie? Room. Yeah, locker room speeches.
What is the phrase where it's like when you have too many?
When you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
Exactly. I think that would be the.
When you have two head coaches, you have none.
But there are a lot of situations where you're like, you know, you want Zach Taylor's influence on the offense. Maybe. I don't know. Burrow lost season. It was a lost season for the Cincinnati Bengals.
No, it was not lost for fantasy teams.
No, it wasn't.
We were having a great time with Joey B.
Do we need their defense to be bad?
It helps.
We want their defense to be bad. That helps. Is for darn sure.
Leading or tied on 69% of all of their plays. Didn't make the playoffs.
That is a shocking stat.
The Bengals made the playoffs. The Bengals Broncos. The Broncos made the playoffs. And they were leading 44% of the time. That's wild.
That's almost like they had a better head coach than Sean Payton.
Yeah. That's what we do. I mean, you got, 31 teams that need a new head coach after their failure of a season. One doesn't. And he seemed like he was going to get fired in the first quarter of the year. So, all right. We'll wrap it up. One more reminder, head to ultimatedraftkit.com. Order by March 1st. Get entered to win a listener league spot. Come and play with us in 2025. And if you want an extra episode of the show, you can go to jointhefoot.com. Become a supporter. You get that extra episode every Thursday, the Footcast. We're answering your questions, getting you ready for the offseason. And if you want both of those things, that is the Ultimate Foot Clan membership. And you'll get the UDK and everything we have all season long. And never have to think about it again. So you can do that at jointhefoot.com as well. That'll do it for today's episode. But don't worry, we'll be back. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com. And follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.